Okay, thank you for coming, friends and acquaintances, to this talk about Hacky Racers. I'm going to take a little bit of a sort of a light-hearted look at who we are, what we do, how we do it, and all the sort of shenanigans we get up to while we're doing it. So we'll do it as a light-hearted talk. There are various pictures in here that have been unceremoniously ripped from the Facebook group, where we post all of our pictures of things that go wrong, things that sometimes go well. Just a pre-warning on this, and it's part of our driver's briefing. Motorsport can be dangerous. Ask me how I know. Find me in the bar later, and I'll tell you a tale. So, I'm Michael West. My day job is third line IT support. My evening job, I'm chair of the Men in Sheds in Milton Keynes, which incorporates our makerspace, and I am also one of the event monkeys for EMF. This is my sixth event, so if I look a little jaded like Benny and a few others, I've been here since Tuesday last week. So, and I doubt this will be my last, so. We don't really do a lot in terms of electronic media with our main website and the Facebook group. We don't really do the Fediverse due to the type of people we're trying to attract into the events. A lot of the bigger sponsors and stuff go, what's the Fediverse? So we don't do it. But our Facebook group is the most active. The talk will briefly be around how the Hacky Racers started, basic rule set, events that we attend, and then we've got some examples of some pristine machines out the back there. So, Rory, who's aged a little since... and a few others were doing robot combat. I'm going to embarrass Mark a little more as well. Slightly less grey hair there, where they were part of the Team Nuts and also Team Deadlock. And there was Robert as well, as also part of Team Deadlock. It's based on the Power Wheels racing series in the States, Power Wheels for Adults, which is the kids ride on cars. And some of the people who went to the Maker Faires out there spotted what that was, and thought, we can do this in the UK. So we contacted them, we've unceremoniously borrowed their rule book, rewritten it slightly to make them hacky. Their limitation is sort of kids ride on toys. We've taken it a little bit further than that. Some of us do that. Some of us use custom builds. Some of them use things that can be found in skips and so forth. You know how the hacking stuff works. The first Hacky Racer was the Dustbin 7, or the DB7, which is parked over there, which was made by Rory. He attended the event at, I think it was at Silverstone in 2018, with a note on the bonnet which basically said, I want to start a DIY electric vehicle racing series. And it's kind of gone on from that. A few months later, on a farm down in Somerset that also has a very nice apple orchard and a very nice pub in it called the Cider Barn, which is where Rory's family owns and runs, we had our first meeting with the first five racers that attended site. Mine was a little bit late getting to site because I'm always late. There are rules to keep us in safe, and also in terms of our competition, to keep the playing field as level as we can. Your vehicle should be a vehicle. It doesn't have to be a car. We've had trikes, we've had cranes, we've got a Thunderbird now, we've got a fire engine, the Rule Zero, which is the infamous do not be on fire. Anything that takes your fancy. Yes, there are more rules. One human driver. We do have an autonomous series as well. In the event of an emergency, you must be able to get out of your vehicle within 7 seconds. If it's on fire, you do it very quickly. Your vehicle should have a good chassis to run on. It should have some strength because, as it says here, we are a non-contact sport. The red mist does descend at times. You've got some size limits, basically, so we can all fit around a decent size track, so 1,600mm long and 900mm wide. Unless you are extremely tall, i.e. Dutch, it's usually not too much of a problem. I picked up some bodywork from a very nice lady up in Corby near me and picked it up off Facebook Marketplace, and I think I paid her 20 quid for it. And the last thing she said to me was, "I hope the little one enjoys it just as I slung it in the boot of the car." So I can't tell you. This was in 2018 and I still had hair then. As I said, we are non-contact sport. You can use a scratch build, so you can wheelchair mobility scooters are a good place to start. You can do scratch built chassis, so you can use steel, aluminium. Volt Crano at the back there is made out of CLS timber. Basically anything you can get your hands on within your budget. Quad bikes, mini motos, they're really good for getting hold of things like brakes, brake assemblies, brake discs, hubs, those sorts of things as well. AliExpress is also quite good for that. We'll come onto this in the bill of materials as to how your costing goes. Keep your receipts for the bill of materials, because there are some notes in the rules as to on that. We have a £500 budget, which doesn't include your batteries and other basic safety gear like brakes, which are quite important as it turns out. So this is the, I think it's off the Velociraptor, which is on its side in the pits at the moment because it's thrown a wheel. And the Volt Crano frame that Chris is sat in at the moment. So you can do a mix and match of all sorts. Thunderbird 2, which did have the Cybertruck body work on it, is a mixture of aluminium and wood, and you don't want to know what else. Foam. Need wheels and tyres for propulsion, so your power has to go through the ground. You can't use jet engines and things like that. So has to be mechanical propulsion off the tyres. You must have at least three wheels on your wagon. Not always do racers finish the race with three wheels as a minimum on their wagon. If you start with six, it helps. This has happened to me as well, when in the first event, one of my wheels came off, and Keegan, our compere, who sadly can't be with us this weekend due to illness, had a wheel come past him, and he wondered, well, they're all still going round, like, where's that come from? Turned out I'd lost a wheel on mine because it's got six. It was one of the middle ones and overtook. So more that you start with, you stand a better chance of actually finishing your race that you've started. Tractive power, use any brushless motor. You can use brushed, you can use hoverboard wheels. There's open source firmware for the hoverboard controllers, so you can basically mix and match and do what you like with them. As long as you're stuck within the rules on the power limits, etc., which we'll come onto in a moment. In terms of tyres and stuff, well, first time on concrete, down to the inner tubes. Mark has a classic one of this of, are you going to replace it, Mark, or are you going to go for extra points of flamboyance? The inner tube then promptly exploded in the back of the pits at Silverstone at one of the fully charged events. It was a spectacular noise, is all I will say. We also race on grass. When it rains, it's mud, and that makes it even more fun. When you can get the mud, you know, a couple of metres high in the air and in your face, it's, yeah. Power-wise, we limit to 48 volts, so the 50-volt DC cut-off. So battery pack can be anything within reason, so you can use... most of us use lithium packs. Obviously, you need to take account of safe handling with them when you're charging them, particularly the soft-cell ones. You can use NiCads if you really wanted, NIMS. You could use lead acid. Lead acid is actually useful if you need ballast in the front of your vehicle, because a lot of them tend to be rear heavy for the way you've positioned, the way you sit in them. You're limited on capacity as well, basically because of the fire risks with them. 20 amp hour packs at 6S is usually about, 12S, so 2S in series, is about really where you want to go. Oh, and soft cell lipo, you need to mechanically protect the cells, so ammunition cans, ammo cans, or cash tins, those sorts of things, or anything scratch built, just to give some sort of mechanical protection and fire containment. Bits do fall off, so this is the reason why we put batteries in the tins. This is one that fell off Dustbin 7 a few years ago. We'll run the same fuse, made by Lytle Fuse, depending on what voltage you run. So at 48 volts, you get 30 amps at 24 volts, which is what Big Tight runs on. I get 60 to play with, and I did pop a fuse during somebody a tow going up the hill yesterday. So, yes, they will go. There has been extensive modelling done on the fuse, so you can do temperature monitoring, but you can't actively cool it, or just put two in series and do your messing around with one and leave the race fuse unmolested. That's another way of doing it. You can put auxiliary batteries on for lights, so more lights the merrier at night. I mean, some of you have seen Big Tykes driving around at night all lit up. I'm hoping to get the other one alive when I finish this talk this afternoon, once it's cooled off a little bit. These are the types of battery you get. Get them from Hobby King or any other good supplier. The quality of them does vary. I've had some packs and they mushroomed up in literally the second and third charge. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're absolute rubbish. So. The 20 amp hour packs are the biggest that you can get. These are the 12 amp hour ones, and they're a sort of a sensible-ish minimum if you want to do the 5-minute races that we run and give you some sort of shenanigans time to do donuts afterwards at the end, so you don't run out of power. Things like you can also get batteries. This is out of a VW GTE. If there's one missing in the car park, I know nothing about it. But with these, you've got to put your own battery management system on them for the cells, for the charging and discharge, so you don't go in the vault. They do work. Some people have had problems with voltage sag, but you've got to try them. Must use a motor controller. You can't just use an on-off switch. As much as you may use your throttle as an on-off switch, you need to have a motor controller with variable input. You're not allowed spark plates, etc. Your battery must also be secured, so use your ammo can for that. And it must have some sort of kill switch, so removable link, e-stop, anything like that, caravan isolator, but must be easily accessible so that if something does happen, you can turn the power off. Example controllers, AliExpress is your friend here. We've found them to be quite durable and not let out the magic smoke too frequently, so... it's usually the MOSFETs that will give up, and then when we've given them some abuse over a few years. Must have brakes. I say, come and talk to me later in the bar. Ideally for your brakes, if you've got an open axle on the back, you want brakes both sides so that you don't, when you apply the brakes, you don't then start to steer and it pull to one side, etc. Using your opponents and our non-contact sport is not permitted to slow yourself down. It is a non-contact sport. Can use regen braking, but it must not be your primary source of braking. You must have some sort of mechanical brake. So if you're doing hoverboard wheels, you need to MacGyver a way of getting the brake disc or whatever method of slowing yourself down to the wheel. It can be done if you've got access to a sort of hack space with a mill and a lathe. It can be done. You can also swap the tyres out from the normal sort of 5-inch ones. I think, what are yours, Chris? 8-inch? So yeah, you can change the tyres on them and do things with them if you want bigger wheels. So just an example as a sort of brake mounting on a hoverboard. On a normal wheel, but hoverboard principle is the same. Must have bumpers for your non-contact sport. I'm not going to go through them. Just be a certain height off the ground, etc. Must be able to reverse. It means that if you smash into somebody during our non-contact sport, that you can reverse out of them or reverse out of the barrier to allow the marshal to put the barrier back in place. You also have a timing system. It's a drone timing system using infrared beacon, points up at the timing gate, and you'll see that on our track over there. The software is extremely temperamental, and Keegan has uttered many a swear word at it as it will crash just before the race starts. It's really frustrating, but it does work really well and gives you, I think it's a couple of millisecond accuracy on the timings. Not that we're that close together, but... unfortunately, our Time Lord can't be with us this weekend, but so we've got various people filling in. Other parts of this need to be at least 17 years old. We've had trouble getting insurance in the past. We've had no issues with our insurance getting it. We go to do the renewal, and the next year they say, no, sorry, you're not going to do. So if you now look us up on Motorsport UK, we are actually a bona fide registered motorsport in the UK in our own right, which is quite an achievement for something so silly. We still can't believe it ourselves. So on that, you have to have a suitable crash helmet, enclosed footwear, rubbing is racing, you know, things will get close, you will occasionally swap paint, etc. with each other, it happens. bodywork also does get exchanged from time to time. If your helmet is open, it's advisable to have some sort of eye protection for debris that gets thrown up, stones, and most of the time it's things like dust. We were at the Cheltenham show for Everything Electric a few weeks ago, and in their gravel car park, and the dust was horrific. It's still coming out of my car now. Gloves are also useful as well, sometimes, depending on your hacky racer, particularly on the steering. If you get in caught on the side, it can pull the steering out, your steering out wheel or whatever you're using, and it can hurt. Why have you just gone off? Okay. That'd be my fault. Lights are optional. At night time, it's a mandatory thing, and it also gives us some decorations. You see us sort of patrolling around the site at night. Horns, bells, whistles, they also work quite well for getting pedestrians out the way. We do occasionally get entangled, but we're supposed to be a closed wheel formula. We're not supposed to be using this dodgems. I say we venture out at night. This event, because it's the middle of summer, we won't be doing anything during the night, because it'll be too late, and most of us will be just over there in the bar. We also have the Moxie round. This is the point where the audience can vote for their favourite racer. So we have a Moxie board. There's a picture coming up there, and you press the button to vote for your favourite racer. It can be the fastest, it can be the slowest, hint hint. It can also be influenced to the judging on that by bribing. There are certain things you can do. Kids like plastic ride-on toys and sweets. Not saying from experience, but it does work quite well. We do also now have an online voting thing, which Keegan would normally run through the live.hackyracers.co.uk address, but that won't be... Is that actually... It is running, is it? Okay. Okay, you can do it by phone and badge as well, apparently. As I say, you may bribe the audience. The younger generation do like certain vehicles. You also need a bill of materials, which dictates what you've paid for the thing, so fair market value. Carriage charges are not included, so if you order your e-bike motor from China and it costs you £60, but another £60 in carriage, that's £110 you'd have paid in the UK and £10 for the carriage, so you can actually influence the way you do things. That's your example Moxie board. Say £500 budget, doesn't include batteries. We want you to use safe batteries. We don't want them blowing up. Lithium cells are not fun when they go up. Brakes are an essential item. As I say, ask me later. Fair market value for your items. We have an annual subscription that costs £40. That covers our base fees for Motorsport UK to be registered with them. And then we have an event fee, which is then basically our insurance. And then any incidentals. So sometimes, like EMF, we're obviously camping. Sometimes you may have away costs, like a hotel. Sometimes certain sites we go to, we can just go there and camp alongside, and it's free. We went to Santapod, the drag strip in Northamptonshire, a few weeks ago. And it's about having the social side in the evenings. You sit around the barbecue and have a few beers and go and listen to the Madonna tribute act that's coming from the stage opposite. So we have a tech check, basic thing, go through the rules. Can you get out? Do your brakes work? Does reverse work, etc.? Is it safe within a reasonable certain set of parameters? I mean, these are never safe, but make sure you've got nothing protruding, etc., that would cause an injury. If it's a major fault, you'll have to fix it. If it's minor, do your best on the job. Bodge tape is your friend. We do a series of qualifying laps, set your grid order, and then we go off and race. Winner is who does the most laps on at each of the each race that we do, and that is also influenced by the Moxie scores. So you can actually end up last and actually get quite well up the medal board, as I found out in Cheltenham a few weeks ago. Bits do break and they do fall off, and you will have to repair it. It's a hacky racer. It's hacky. It will break. Why do it? Well, it's a laugh. I won't use the exact phrase here because we have Jung in attendance, but I think you can work it out. That rhymes with giggles. So where do we race? EMF Camp, obviously, we're here and that was kind of our major first event. Everything Electric have been really good to us. So shout out to them. That's Robert Llewellyn's electric car show that was known as Fully Charged until a few years ago. They've been really good. And there'll be some pictures in here in the end of the slides that will show you as to what we got up to. So you went to Santa Pod, to the drag strip. Unfortunately, we didn't get to go up the drag strip, but we still had a good laugh that weekend. VW Retro, we've done the National Kit Car Show in Malvern, Northern Classics, and then we do some private events. There's an event we do out in near Cambridge, which again is just sort of friends and family type things. But yeah, anywhere that'll have us that wants grass removing, basically. There are inter-family rivals. Some of the Hacky Racer members will recognise these two. Husband and wife, yes, they have no respect for each other on the track. That is completely gone. As I said, we went to Everything Electric in Cheltenham a few weeks ago, and it's Robert Llewellyn's show that he does. Some of you may recognise him as Crichton at Red Dwarf. He's done all sorts of various things. He came on and did some race commentary with Keegan, and all I can say is he absolutely smashed it. He absolutely got it down to a T. It's like, who says electric vehicles can be expensive and unreliable as one goes past and the wheel goes flying past him at the same time? It was absolute comedy gold. Not always reliable, so they do get used as tow vehicles. If you have more than one Hacky Racer, it's sometimes useful to be able to drag the other one back from when it dies. This has happened several times. We have been here before. This was our first event that we did, the first meetup, as I say, back in 2018 on Rory's farm. We challenged Mark to a reverse race. That is what happened after the first corner. We heard the crash. He's like, are you all right, Mark? Yes, I'm fine. And then all the giggling and extracting of certain bodily fluids then took place. History does repeat itself, is all I'll say. Sometimes he does control it, and we do get really good action shots. So this was after he modified it with the cartwheels, which makes it a little bit more unstable than the cartwheels, than the mobility wheels, because once you get to a certain point, it will just go. But if you can hold it, you can drive it like you stole it. This is on Rory's farm a year or two ago, so we do a similar sort of thing, set the plastic boxes out and we go racing around there. It's also nice because in the evening the bar is open as well, and then the family does make some extremely good cider. Once you've built it, you need to store it somewhere. So this was Chris's storage contraption that he came up with with his Cybertruck and Volt Crano. If you can make it disassemble so you can get it in a car, that is also very helpful. I've come with a complete car and trailer full of crap to EMF, and I still didn't have room for everything. Loading solutions, can you wedge it in the van? Can you actually get it in the van? Can you get it in your car? Will it disassemble? I've taken Big Tykes to the Netherlands, I've taken it to Denmark, and it will fold out completely, along with its trailer, and you can fit it in the back of a Mondeo. Along with the tent and camping gear, you may weigh close to 2.5 tons in weight in your car, and you may ground your tow ball going on and off the ferry, but it is possible. So EMF 2018 was our first proper event, so this is one of the shots. This is on the front of our website. You also get a YouTube star and a reasonably priced car. You'll recognise Matt Gray. That was taken in the Netherlands at the Hacker Camp Y last year. All I'll say is that if you want to see the video, again, I've got that in the bar, because all you get to hear from me is him going, "Wee!" Sometimes EMF Auger gets a ride. May recognise him from the opening ceremony. Not a good idea. Benny here, when we were at, this was MCH in 2021, that's taken on top of one of the dikes from the Dutch camps, driving around site, so you can see all the lasers and all the other lights and stuff that were going on over the site. It was a good weekend as well. They also break. This is what happens when you lend your vehicle to friends. They always break them. Mark is no exception to this. Google Earth will show you the evidence that you've been. This was a private event. And you can clearly see the layout of the track we had that was cut in the grass. We do leave a mark behind, so you know we've been there. Everything Electric Cheltenham, as I say, Robert Llewellyn was an absolute legend in there, and the rest of the team and crew that came and commentated with us as well. We even got him to give us a little bit with Every Little Helps, which is the supermarket trolley. Yeah, and we also got a nice wide screen of us all lined up. There was a really good shot where we got a really good attendance of all the vehicles. Went to Santapod, as I said. We got to see the drag cars going up. It was the Door Slammers event that was going on at the time. And we did actually manage to get up to the top of the bank and go and watch them before security came along and spoiled our party and said, you can't have mobility scooters and vehicles on the top of the bank. We've done Maker Central. Doing that indoors in the NEC is interesting on a painted floor, particularly if you have a fixed axle, because your vehicle will not want to turn. The first time we did it, I had the is an A-team van that I made, and it had the mobility scooter tyres on it. All I will say is every time I went round the corner, the screech from the tyres was fantastic. And that takes us to the end. Hope you've enjoyed the talk. If you want to come and find out more, we are down there in front of Knoll Sector. Come and talk to us. We're more than happy to show you around our vehicles, etc. But otherwise, thank you very much.